I'd like to call to order the regularly scheduled monthly meeting of the Derby Planning and Zoning Commission. Today is Tuesday, December 15th. It's a little after 7 p.m. Apologize for the delay, technical difficulties. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Ted Estwan.
Here.
Jalowick. Steve Jalowick.
Steve, you're muted.
I'm here.
Thank you. David Kopchansky. Raul Sanchez.
Here.
Albert Miskowitz.
Here.
Raymond Sadlick. Cynthia Nopick.
Here.
A new member, Gene Giovanni.
Here.
Okay, we're all set. We have a quorum. The next item on the agenda is additions, deletions, and corrections to the agenda. Before we do that, I want to welcome Gene DiGiovanni to the commission. I think I've been sending you most of the stuff, but now we're getting you alerted and on everybody's email group email list, so this way you should get everything in the future.
Yeah, I got most of everything.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, thank you. Additions, deletions, and corrections to the agenda. I want to add one thing under receipt of applications. There's an application for an amendment to the zoning map to change the zone on 2325 North Street and North Street and Assessor's Map 9-4 parcels 187 and 188 from a P zone to an MDD zone, and Park Avenue Assessor's Map 9-4 parcel 23 from an R5 to an MDD zone. For those of you that are unfamiliar, this is the Dew Drop Inn and their parking, which is in roughly three zones now, and they like to just combine it all into one. I move that we add that to the agenda to receive the application only.
So moved.
Second. Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Made and seconded. Any discussion on the matter? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Aye. Okay, that's the only thing I have this evening. Communications, I do not have any. This is the public portion. If there's anybody from the public on the meeting that would like to address the commission at this time, please state your name for the name and address for the record, and this is a time to speak.
Dominic Thomas on the phone because the internet here at Optimum is out. So I'm on the phone. That's my application on behalf of the property owners of the Dew Drop In. I would hope that also receiving it, would hope that you would consider setting the public hearing for January on the zone text change. And I'll just before, so I could, because I can communicate with the commission before a public hearing is set, just to point that out to you, the intent after the zone map change takes place is for the Dew Drop In and its owners to be able to come before this commission with a modification to the site plan to increase their outdoor dining patio and to also increase their parking on the parking lot. But thank you very much.
Thanks, Dominic. Is there anybody else from the public who would like to address the commission at this time? Anyone else from the public?
Yes, Mr. Chair, it's Mark Carfalo, 95 Academy Hill Road.
Yes, sir.
Regarding the item 8A and 10C, regarding the site plan approval for the planting buffer for 117 Main Street Home Depot, I just encourage the commission to make sure that that it is done with the spirit that the original approval was, to make sure that there is a complete and appropriate buffer that will be covering that will be kind of green all year round. And so I just encourage your attention on that matter. Thank you very much.
Did you want to address something else at this time, Mark?
I can deal with that with the public hearing.
Okay, got it. Is there anybody else from the public who wishes to address the commission at this time? Anyone else? Anybody else? Okay, with that, the public portion is closed. We'll move on to item number 7, administrative actions. 7-1, approval of minutes, the 11-17-2020 regular meeting. I forwarded everybody the minutes that Karen sent to me today. Okay, is there a motion to approve the minutes?
Make a motion to approve.
Thank you, Albert. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Steve. Thank you. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor? Aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, we'll move on to item 7-2, election of chairman of the Planning and Zoning Commission for 2021. Is there any motions to elect a chairman? Any nominations at this time?
Ed Estwan as chairman.
Second.
Made by David Kupjanski and seconded by Steve Jalik. Any other nominations? Anyone else? Okay, with no other moment. Everybody in favor of Ted Estwan as chairman for 2021, say aye.
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 Opposed? Karen, as usual, I'll abstain. I'm 7-3, elect the vice chair of the Planning and Zoning Commission. I nominate Steve Jalowick as vice chair. Is there a second?
I second.
Seconded by Dave Kuchansky. Any other nominations? Any others? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Congratulations, Steve. Adopt a regularly scheduled monthly meeting. You'll have in your packet, we sent out the meeting schedule. You'll see it's a little different than other years. Since we are pretty much at virtual meetings, there's no get home and then travel time, parking time to get into City Hall for 7 o'clock. So you can tell that I moved the meetings to a 6 o'clock start via Zoom. I moved that we adopt the new schedule as is, moving the start time to 6 o'clock.
Okay, could we have a little discussion on that?
Sure we can, Ray, absolutely.
Yeah, 6 o'clock's not gonna work for me at all.
At all?
It's gonna be hit or miss. 7 o'clock is even difficult, but you know, especially in the summer months, it's gonna be like impossible.
Okay.
What's the reason to move it, though? I mean, what prompted this?
What prompted this is just shortening the day, because the reason why we always had a start time and any of the meetings at City Hall had a start time at 7 was to allow for exactly what you said, the end of the business day, which is for summer 5 or 6 o'clock, and enough time to get to City Hall for the meeting. But because a lot of us are working from home already, so in order to a lot of the boards and commissions have been moving their start times to 6 o'clock as opposed to 7, just to kind of give some time back to people during the day and shorten the day. So rather than a 7 to 10 meeting or a 7 to 11 meeting, it's 6 to 8 or 6 to 9. And that was the thought process by moving that. And that's why I polled everybody before the meeting, just to get everybody's, anybody who responded, their take on as to would it work for them. And until now, I've had no negative take. It was all positive. So that's why I'm just curious as to why. But obviously, you stated, your reasoning why.
Hey, Ted.
On the road a lot.
Yeah, Dave.
I got home late tonight. That's why I wasn't able to respond to your email.
Okay.
I see 6 o'clock is early for those of us who work out of town.
Okay.
For a Zoom meeting, it might work, but for an in-person meeting at City Hall, it definitely wouldn't work for me.
Right. I didn't think it would either, Dave. Even for myself. It would, 7's kind of close as it is. For if we had an in-person meeting, so that's why. If we want to leave it the same, I'm okay by leaving it the same. It doesn't matter to me either way. I'm working from home, so whether I join at 6 or 7, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So Ted, if I could just jump in real quick.
Go ahead, Gino.
I just saw your email probably about 5 minutes, before I came on the call, just because they're getting crazy with the snow and getting prepared. But yeah. 6 o'clock for me is going to be tough. I probably, you know, would have to start it in the truck and then follow it through the time period going in and out. But even during, you know, even if we did an in-person thing, hopefully in the spring, if we get back to somewhat normal, 7 o'clock is going to be a little rough for me to get there just because of business and, you know, working in the field every day. So I just wanted to jump in and let you know that on my end.
Thanks, Jano. I appreciate it.
Hey, okay, Ted, I would make a motion. Yeah, go ahead, Steve. I would make a motion that we adopt the schedule you proposed, but change the time back to the normal time. If we have at least three commission members, yeah, it's going to be a problem. Let's go back to 7 o'clock.
Look, it's hard enough to get people to volunteer for this anyway. So if it's going to keep people that they can't do it, or it'll put them on the border. The city is too small to afford that as it is now. Yeah. I'll second that motion. Is there any further discussion on the motion to adopt the meeting schedule as is for 2021? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, meeting schedule adopted, remains as normal. Okay, the let's see, receipt of applications. Home Depot, 117 Main Street, site plan approval application to remove and replace trees along Main Street. The long and awaited application. We finally got here. Is there somebody from the applicant that wants to say something to the commission? I see that Mr. Pryor's on tonight.
I'm on as well from Nelts Inc.
Kiyosha. Okay.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Rob Pryor for the applicant. The only thing I think we really wanted to talk about a little bit was that we submitted two separate options
For
the commission to look at. We took generally as our basis the plan that was previously approved by the commission back in, I want to say 2003. I think there was a site plan modification that detailed what the planting was out here in front. We generally followed the layout of what that originally was approved. We made some substitutions planting wise. One of the substitutions that we made generally was for the evergreen screening, the original plan had called out mostly eastern white pine. That's a species that's typically proposed by developers. It's pretty inexpensive. It's fast growing. It does have the negatives that as it gets, as white pines get larger, they tend to get some die off in the bottoms of the trees and in the interior of the tree itself. The screening that you achieve when the tree is younger gets less effective as the tree gets larger. And there's also subject to wind damage as they get larger. You tend to see white pines drop limbs when you have significant wind events. We proposed a different type of evergreen screening tree that we felt was that doesn't have those negatives. Clearly we'd be happy to put if the commission felt strongly about the white pines, we'd put the white pines back in. But generally when we look at the two different plans, there's really both plans have quantities in excess of what was approved back in 2003. And the only difference between the two is that one, the alternate B incorporates at the top of the existing berm, it incorporates a 6-foot-high screen fence. And we thought that the benefit that would provide is that we would get some immediate screening of the loading area and the parking area behind the Home Depot. So the plantings are going to take some time to mature. And so while we're putting the same amount of trees in, they're not going to be the same size as what was taken out. And so it'll be several years before they achieve full screening. And we thought the introduction of the fence would provide sort of immediate screening to those air from the street to those air, you know, from those areas to the street of the you know, the existing operational part of the store. So we're kind of looking for some idea of the commission's preference going forward so that we can advance the more preferred plan all the way to basically a completed planting plan.
Ryan, have you had a chance to see the two different plans and comment on the two different plans and speak with your professionals as a preferred way or another so we can give Mr. Pryor some guidance for next month?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. We provided a comment letter at the end of the day today regarding the proposals. And looking at it in review with our landscape architects, they had some suggestions about the caliper of the street trees, which represent more of a typical streetscape style plantings, and also recommendations regarding perhaps adding a little more variety to the evergreen plantings along the top of the berm. We also asked that the Mr. Pryor comment on the nature of the proposed plantings with respect to the land use restriction associated with the contamination below grade. And in terms of fencing rather than no fencing, I'd say that's a pretty subjective question that I would defer to the commission on. Our focus was more on the nature and size of the vegetation proposed and requesting a little bit more variety, particularly in the evergreen species in the rear. Okay. Fencing versus no fencing, I think to sum it up, there one plan has the fence with a few, a little bit less tree cover, and the other plan has more tree cover but no fence. That's the short version.
Okay. So
I'll defer to the commission if you guys have any preference. The fence obviously can go up sooner than the plantings. Plantings will take time. They have to wait till generally the spring. And they also will take years in some cases to fully mature.
Okay. All right. Since it's only a receipt of application, but they did ask for some guidance this evening, I thought that was important to actually give them the guidance besides of just a letter. So thank you very much, Ryan. Okay, do you have enough information? I know you received the letter late from Ryan, so to address it for next month?
I believe so. We don't, looking at the comments, we have no issues with any of the comments raised by the by Ryan and the consultant.
Okay. So since this is technically just the receipt of the application, we'll be hearing it next month. Ryan, a quick question, a point of order. Is this because this is a site plan modification, really, or a planting modification, this require a public hearing?
No, Mr. Chairman, the retail use or the use of the property as retail is not a special exception use in the CDD zone. It should be noted that when this was originally approved in 1999, it was a special exception use, but the regulations have changed, not the use of the property. So I would argue that this is just a site plan modification, application for permitted use that wouldn't necessarily require public.
Okay. Thank you, Ryan. Okay. So then I move we receive the application, we give some guidance, and we put it on the agenda for next month. Since we're going to get a foot of snow tomorrow, I don't think we're in a hurry to get any plants in the ground at this point in time. Correct? Ryan?
Not the
On behalf of NELTS, we are not in a hurry to get it done, but we are in a hurry to receive approval.
Okay. So you'll be on the agenda for next month. Not a special hearing, so you'll be on the agenda for next month. So come prepared with a full plan. Okay.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it, Kaisha.
No problem.
Mr. Chairman, could we get
four
copies of the two plans?
Sure.
The two plans? I haven't seen them. I saw a list of the plants, but I haven't seen an actual site plan.
I can forward them to you, Dave, and Mr. Pryor, if you could submit some full-size copies to the office at some point, so we can distribute them to some of the commission members who want to see full-size plans.
we'll get those in by the end of the week, hopefully.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Thanks, Dave.
Okay. Chairman, I am making the motion. I do not have a second on the motion.
Made the motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Made and seconded by Steve Jalik. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, we'll see you next month.
All right, thank you very much.
Okay, next item, is the item we added, an application from Do Drop In for amendment to the zoning map to change the zone on 2325 North Street and North Street Assessor's Map 9-4, parcels 187 and 188 from P zone to an MDD zone, and Park Avenue Assessor's Map 9-4, parcel 23 from R5 to an MDD zone. I move that we receive that application and put it on for a public hearing for next month. Is there a second? Made and seconded by Albert. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor? Yeah, Dave?
Could you also forward that application?
Sure.
Members?
Absolutely, Dave. I'm making a note. Mm-hmm. Okay. Made and seconded. Any further discussion on the motion? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Okay, Dominic, we'll see you next month. Okay, nine.
Thank you.
Public hearing. Derby Apartment Investments, Trolley Point, 90 Main Street, special exception application to build a 70-unit apartment building. Is there someone from the applicant to address the commission at this time? Joe?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Joe Salem.
Okay, Joe, it's all yours.
Okay, thank you. I wasn't sure if you could hear me or not.
Oh, we can hear you.
Okay, thank you. And I want to thank the board and the Derby officials, the chairman, board members. Thank you for this opportunity to speak in front of you. I'd like to just first, before I get started, thank the Derby officials that were very, very helpful throughout this process, from the mayor, Andrew Backlick, Carlo, the economic director, Carmen DeCenzo. Everybody's been very, very helpful. I want to just, before I get started, thank everybody for their help with this through the process here. We are very excited to move forward on the development of the former Life Touch building with a what we think is a very attractive looking apartment building, 70 units. And I'd like to see if we can have a little bit of leeway with the board for a conceptual approval to begin with, because there's a chance that I'd like the board to consider a possible coffee shop or a possible cafe in the, I would say the western side of the project towards Factory Street. After looking at the building, I had asked our design architect to create a trolley looking entrance to emphasize the history of the building and Derby, because it formerly years ago, it was a trolley repair location. And since the name of the building is gonna be Trolley Point, and the trolley look for the entrance, we're thinking that after discussing it with some other people, we looked at that might be a nice cafe or coffee shop and a nice amenity for the residents that we're hoping to attract to the project. again, I have my attorney, Ben Proto's here, the engineer, Jim Swift, and the design architect, Patrick Rose, are all here and available for your questioning today for any details. And again, we're looking forward to getting started on this project. I think that we may be a good timing with the redevelopment of Route 34. We were both delayed for various reasons, but now hopefully this project is gonna come together. And we're hoping that as we complete the building, the road will be completed close to the same time. There's some issues with access that I believe the state made some changes on that I was just informed with to access the property from the north side of Route 34 Main Street. That is a very nice surprise. We discussed that with the I can't remember that board that Rick Dunn is on up there. And they, we had some discussions with the DOT for a better access, and it looks like they have they've agreed to a turning lane to enter the building. So that certainly improves the access, and we are looking forward to show these plans. And if you have any other further questions, we're here to answer them. I know everybody has a set of the plans. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, could you send me over whatever information we have on this project later at a later date?
Ted, you're on mute. Ted, you're on mute. There you go.
No problem. Gino, I can send it to you. Not a problem. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. I muted myself so we can hear you better, Joe, and it's causing me problems. Go ahead.
Okay, thanks. There's a few things that we'd like the city to consider, some overflow parking in the parking lot across from the from Factory Street. I know you don't have specific plans for that, but I believe there's going to be additional parking for the entire project there. I don't honestly think we're going to need it because we have mostly studios and one bedrooms. We've decided due to the market study that those were the most the highest demand for the apartment residents. And I believe that the town will probably look favorable on the breakdown of the number of units and the number of one bedroom and studios for just fewer activity and less parking demand. You know, the state has been very helpful with and very involved with the economic side of this project. And this is, you know, whether it's going to be the infrastructure they're involved with or the improvements at the train station across the street, we're looking at a very optimistic combination of economic development there that we're really excited to get started with. I think that's about all I have to say for now, and I'll hand it over to Pat Rose to explain about the building and the design.
Pat Rose from Rose Tiso and Company, and I don't know, Ted, can you want to put up the drawing? Or maybe I can, or you know, Jim Swift could do it. He's got a PowerPoint of the drawings, actually.
Yeah, if I can figure out how to get that onto a screen. I'm not sure if that's showing up on the...
Ted, could you possibly share your screen with Jim? And then he can project.
Pretty sure only Ted could do it because he's the host, but I could be wrong.
I think anyone's able to share the screen. Oh, Ted, you're muted again.
Try it again, Jim.
I'm not even the host here. Mark Arfalo's the host.
Oh.
So. his smiling face is in all our meetings.
I've got it up on my PowerPoint on my screen, but I'm not sure if it's.
If you hover on the, if you hover, there you go.
We can see your screen.
I just loaded it up on my screen. Jim, if you just, I can end the share. I just wanted to make sure that anyone could do it. If you go to share your screen, then you should be able to jump right in.
I see it here.
Okay. Well, I can be the. I can be the guide if that's
you're going to be the moderator helpful. Here.
I'll be the moderator. Yeah,
I think you're the guy.
All right, just tell me where you want me to go.
that's a pretty loaded statement. Hold on.
All
starting at the top.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, if we'll start at the top here, I'll take it over from Pat until we get to strictly speaking the architecture. My name is Jim Swift. I'm a professional engineer, landscape architect. This slide that you're looking at here is the base survey. Prepared by Rose Tizzo Associates, and what this is showing the commission is this is an up-to-date survey. It's a T2, A2, so it's very accurate. I believe the only thing that's happened, of course, is the building has been demolished. So if we could go to the next slide down after that. So basically, we're doing some house cleaning. I don't know how much of these plans some of the other commissioners have seen. But our proposal is to construct the building up near Route 34, which of course is at the top of the drawing that you're looking at here. To the right of the drawing is the entrance ramp to Route 8. So you can see that, that our zone, of course, is a center development, design development. The parcel area, and this is just for the record, is 1.296 acres. We're proposing a four-story apartment building. You can see that it's tucked up against Route 34. We thought that was the best and most attractive streetscape with no parking in front of it. Our access point is basically the same access point as the previous user. And that was just to try and sort of work with the CONDOT a little bit. It's about the center of the block, which is where they want to see these things. And we'll update these things as we go along. Joe related to you that we're still in conversation with DOT on breaking the islands for traffic patterns and such. I think Derby appreciates that this kind of traffic issue is certainly willing to hear comments from the city of Derby, but they have the primary responsibility for this as far as safety and such. But in any case, our driveway is located pretty much where the existing driveway was. So you can see most of our parking is in the back of the site, hidden from view. We have a total of 70 apartments. Pat will get into that a little bit further. But if you look in the site data on the right side, it breaks down the parking for studio, for one bedroom, for two bedroom. And it shows that we do have the required parking per the zoning regulations. But as Joe mentioned, the more parking that we can have reserved, the better, and hence our discussions on some of the offsite parking that we're interested in. So the site is fairly straightforward, very flat, nothing much going on. We can go to the next site, slide rather, which is the grading and utility plan. And again, the site is very flat. There's no drama for slopes and steep embankments and retaining walls and things of that sort. It's very straightforward. So I'm just going to say for the record that according to our drawings and our analysis, all the utilities that are required are available. We have power, electric, gas, water, things of that sort. We have our stormwater generally drains to the back of the site. We're not in any danger of flooding or impacting any of our neighbor sites with any of our stormwater. We have a discharge. If you look in the words of southbound entrance and ramp to the right of the drawing, you'll see that there's an existing pipe going in that direction. And that's where all our drainage goes. So that's the pipe we're discharging to. We have stormwater infiltration system in ground that you can see very close to that pipe. So we've covered all our bases on utilities and stormwater and things of that nature. We do have an existing sanitary sewer out in the front of the site, and we'll be tying in very close to where the existing sewer connection was. The next drawing is more or less, again, pro forma. It's the soil erosion control plan. Again, just for the record for the commission, we provided the soil erosion control plan. We've addressed the issues that are required for stormwater runoff, for stockpiling, and for things of that nature. So again, for the record, soil erosion control plan has been completed and submitted. Next slide is a landscaping concept plan. It needs, we'd like, I guess, a little more input from planning and zoning, but certainly we'll be doing the foundation plantings, things of that nature. There's a landscape legend in the lower right side. The general street trees are shown. And again, this is a conceptual plan, and we expect to get some input from planning and zoning as to what they would like to see. All the drawings after that are detailed drawings. They'll just cover things like that Ryan's going to be interested in looking at, just to make sure that we've got all of our technical ducks in order. And that's what these detailed plans are for. So that'll cover what I want to talk about on the drawings. And the last thing that I want to talk about is that we do have Ryan's review, the peer review, if you will. And we've had time to look at it. We haven't had time to, we got it last week, which is enough time to look at it and evaluate it, but not enough time for us to get actual revised drawings in. I'm gonna say for the record that that all of the issues that are raised in this are certainly in no way or shape or form fatal to the application. Most of these are requests to make modifications to the plans, in some case for requests for additional information. We have no objection to those sorts of issues. The only things that I did want to cover specifically is the issue of the CONDOT and the traffic impact report. As you know, the commission, regulations mentioned that they desire those kinds of reports from us. But because of the DOT doing so much work out in Route 34 and having such a hands-on in the process of our design as far as looking at what we're proposing in the 90% review drawings that are going for up to the DOT for final approval for the reconstruction of 34, that in addition to when we are ready to go and we submit to the district who looks at more of the details, we're gonna ask for a waiver of the traffic report because the DOT is so heavily involved in this application and how we're connecting out onto Route 34. And the only other thing that was of interest that if the commission is reading this letter, they could come to this item and say, oh, whoa, this looks serious. Maybe we should discuss this. Item number five is that several of our parking spaces proposed along the western portion line are within an easement that we share with parcel 178. Parcel 178 is the small parcel that's immediately to the left of our driveway into the site. It's a fairly small parcel. It has been taken by the state of Connecticut, and there you can see it. There's 178 right there. So there's an easement that half is in favor of us, half is in favor of 178. I think it had to do with access for the loading dock or something of that nature. And given the fact that the state has taken parcel 178, it's not going to affect our application. We're looking at perhaps, and perhaps Joe can address this, perhaps looking to perhaps buy that parcel, perhaps not, but even if we should have to reconfigure those spaces, I'm going to go on the record and say that we can deal with that. We'll have the required parking that we need for the application. And with that, I'll turn it over to Pat, and he can bring you up to speed on the architecture.
Okay, thanks, Jim. Yeah, Ryan, go back to where you were.
Bear with me.
No problem.
I also have the colored elevation drawing as well.
Okay, good. Let's start with the floor plan. Pat Rose from Rose Tizzo, architect for the project, 35 Brentwood Avenue in Fairfield. The access to the building, two different ways. Up in the upper left-hand corner is the lobby of the building along Route 34. And there's an access there off the sidewalk with a couple steps and a ramp coming up from Route 34 that leads you into a lobby with elevator, mailboxes, and a stairwell. And then there's a center corridor typical to many of the apartment buildings with apartments on either side that lead you down to an access that goes by the refuse room out to parking behind the building underneath the second floor in the L of the building. So that you would come out there in the back and you're at the accessible parking spaces that are there. And then there's the refuse room exit, electrical meter room, and water meter room in that space. So you're underneath the building at that point on the second floor. And then there's a second stairway at the bottom of the page on the right-hand side. So what we have right now shown are 13 apartments on the first floor. We're currently in the midst of thinking about, you know, changing that mix a little bit and either putting a food service potentially on the Route 34 side along with some of the common spaces in the building and rearranging that first floor so that more common spaces are along the Route 34 facade. That's something we're entertaining at the moment. Want to go to the next one, Ryan? This is the second floor plan. And now you can see the L of the building that's over the parking to the bottom of the sheet. And what we have are 19 apartments on this floor, along with a lounge in the center part next to the refuge room and janitor's closet, in the inside knuckle of the building. And again, we have an overlook by the lobby, which you can look down into the lobby from that second floor corridor next to the elevator. And you want to go to the next one? That's the typical floor plan. Next one's a typical floor plan for the third and fourth floors. They're essentially identical. There are 19 apartments on each one of these floors. And we're showing a common space of a lounge on one floor and a fitness center on the other in the inside knuckle by the janitor's closet and refuse room. So what we end up with for a unit count for the building is 70 apartments. And of those 70 apartments, 40 of them are studios, 26 are one bedroom units, and 4 are two bedroom units. And the sizes of the units the studio units range from 505 square feet to 614 square feet. The one bedroom units range from 691 to 917, is one that's a little larger. And then the two bedroom unit is 967 square feet. So typical unit sizes for what we're seeing in this area that being built. Now, maybe Ryan, the best thing to do is to put up the rendering instead of the flat elevations.
You see it?
Not up yet. I don't see it yet. It takes a second.
Hold on one second. Try this another way. Let me know if you can see it now.
Yep, there it is. Got it. Thank you. So the view that we are seeing now is a view looking east on Main Street towards the Route 34 interchange with Route 8. You don't see that in the left-hand side, but it's cut off, but you don't want to see that anyway. We want to focus on the building. And what we've done is we've created a four-story building and tried to emulate an industrial-type building for the majority of it. We've used express brick columns that are vertical and then punch windows for the apartments with brick detailing of sills and heads and actually arched window heads with infill metal panel for the majority of the building. The bottom, we have used metal panel that is along the street frontage that you see metal panel there. And then what we've created is a little more modern looking entry tower on the corner of the parking lot in Route 34. And then added at the bottom of that, we've put in a trolley themed element at the bottom to try and pay homage to the city's electric trolley history that it's had, which I read some. I was surprised that it was the first electric trolley in New England. So it's very interesting. I think we have incorporated that into that tower. I think it works out well. And anchors the rest of the industrial building. I believe that the height of the overall height of the building is about 52 feet high to the top of the tower. So it's a little less for the rest of the building. And I think it's be a very, very welcomed addition to downtown Derby. Questions, be happy to answer.
This is for Jim. You had mentioned earlier about having a traffic study, etc., and you made mention to the state being heavily involved as it is, so you didn't feel there was a need for that traffic study for this project. I just want to let you know, I don't know, and I'll send it along to you folks, but if you go back to the schematic where they show Route 34 and the entrance to the building, that which we so fondly call the banana, that's on Route 34, that kind of raised median that's painted yellow, and in the project that you showed, it shows that going all the way through. I just got a notice today that the state has actually modified those right there. You're going to get me this. There you go. Perfect. Yes. Perfect. You see how the first drawing is with that split in the median, and then the newer drawing, it shows the median all the way through. Well, they put the split back in so you can turn into and out of the building there. So they've modified drawings already. The state has done. So this is a very fluid design, and they're intimately involved in this with Route 34, the project of getting people in and out safely. I'm pretty sure that's a main concern, but I just received that today and I didn't have a chance to forward it over to you. So I wanted to make that a note so you folks are aware of it. And I'll send it along. So this way, you guys have the latest and greatest drawings from the state of Connecticut for Route 34, because I'm sure you're watching that pretty closely. Some record keeping here. We did receive a letter from the fire marshal, and I'll read it into the record. December 4th, 2020. Dear Mr. Estwan, this letter is in regards to the plans this office received from Joe Salem for the proposed trolley point located at 90 Main Street. Upon review of these plans, this office sees no problems pertaining to fire department accessibility or fire protection with this project. When more detailed plans are submitted for a review for fire code compliance will take place. If you have any questions, please call me. Very truly yours, Philip Hawks, Fire Marshal. And we do have another letter, and I think they want to take another look at this. This is from the local traffic authority. Dear Mr. Estwan, on behalf of the City of Derby LTA, I have reviewed the site plan dated 16 November 2020 for the proposed Trolley Point development located at 90 Main Street on the former Lifetouch Studio property as submitted by James R. Swift, professional engineer on behalf of J&L Enterprise. This design includes aspects of future state project 36-184, reconstruction of Route 34, which are deemed essential to potential LTA concurrence of minimal traffic impact as required by future Office of State Traffic Administration approval. Specifically, the site plan includes a future roadway condition that includes a raised center medium for the length of the roadway fronting this proposed project. This center medium is a necessary component to prevent westbound traffic on Route 34 from turning left into the proposed driveway, thus creating adverse conditions to include excessive queuing of westbound traffic and potential side impact crashes while crossing eastbound traffic lanes. Operating under the assumption that the state project 36-184 is completed prior to the completion of this development, the LTA would likely not have an issue with this site plan as it currently exists pending a completed traffic study. However, absent completed roadway upgrades as depicted in the site plan, the LTA would require the addition of a center line barrier type to be determined to prevent westbound traffic from turning left into this proposed development as a condition of any future concurrence of minimal traffic impact. On behalf of the LTA, I request that this letter be entered into the official record during the public hearing portion of your meeting scheduled for 15 December 2020. Should you have any additional questions or concerns, do not hesitate to contact me. Respectfully, Scott Todd, Deputy Chief, Derby Police Department. And I'll send you folks along a copy of that just so you have it for your records. And that's pretty much it. I think overall the project is a great welcome to the entrance, because this has always been a focal point for the entire commission. It's the gateway to the City of Derby on one end. You know, you have the other end of Route 34 and you have this end, and we have Home Depot on one side, which is usually blocked and screened nicely by vegetation, which we hope we get back there. And on the other side was a rundown empty building called Lifetouch. And now that you took it down and you did a great job taking it down, now we can see everything behind that. We can see the property behind you and the storage they have. We could see the scrapyard, which the Jacobs, the city's addressing at this time to do something with that. So our goal is to hopefully get all that cleaned up, and this would be a tremendous welcome to as a gateway to the City of Derby, especially the architectural plans and Trolley Point, which I'm very impressed that you actually took that name and incorporated into the design of the building as a gateway to the City of Derby. So I'll leave it up to Ryan, or first of all, if he has any technical comments, and then we'll open up to commission members and the rest of the public for their comments too. Thank you, the entire group. You guys, you could tell by this that you actually put thought into the process, which is nice. You didn't just come with something on a napkin, which is welcome. Ryan, do you have any comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I trust everyone's seen my comment review letter. I would characterize our comments, many of them, as bookkeeping in nature. I think some of them are a little detail-oriented, but we are looking for a bit of a narrative with regard to the storm drainage system as proposed. I suspect that given the site is almost entirely impervious today, that the minimal amount of landscaping that proposed as part of this would actually result in a reduction of runoff, but we would like that documented for the record, along with any supporting water quality computations and hydraulic computations in the storm drainage system. In terms of the site itself, I did note that you have a trash room within the building itself, although I did ask whether or not any sort of outdoor or outside storage or garbage collection areas were warranted. it seems that there might be an opportunity to have some of that in the areas where you show a possible connection to an adjacent, the adjacent Factory Street property. And I just wanted also to ask where that stands, since it's reflected on your plans, if there is or has been any discussions with the neighboring property owner for any connectivity to their development. I think that would be, in my opinion, certainly be helpful to internal circulation through adjacent properties. And lastly, lighting plans, photometric plans based on the lighting proposed would be helpful. And you know, I don't want to go into tremendous detail. I'd rather let the commission ask their questions. But those are just a quick summary of some of the items that we saw.
Thanks, Ryan. I appreciate it. Any commission members would like, this is a public hearing. We'll open up to the commission members at this point in time before I open it up to the public to see if anybody has any questions they'd like to ask the applicant or concerns.
Ryan.
Yes, sir. Raul. Sure.
Yeah, I got that LTA letter also, and when you read it, it sounded like it's kind of contradicting what Joe started off the meeting saying, that we were going to be able to get a left in off of Main Street working with DOT, because it seemed like left out of the property is got okay, but is there still going to be a left off of Main into the property? Because it sounds like the letter is kind of contradicting that.
Well, one of the things, that's why I mentioned at the beginning, I read the letter and I said, wait a minute, this letter was written based on the plans they had at the time they had them. But okay. like Mr. Slim said, it's they're so involved, it's a fluid process, so it's constantly changing. So I'm saying they'll probably want to review the plans again and again and again. And actually, you brought up a great point. That is something, because they're just so heavily in, the state is so heavily involved in the process throughout this Route 34 project, that it will be something that they're looking at time and time again and very closely. And I'm sure so will the developers here for Trolley Point, because that's ever changing. I just received that new, because it was mentioned to me, the comment was, we don't think you have the latest drawing for in front. I said, will you send it along? And they did. So the latest drawing has a break in that banana, so to speak, or the island that's currently there. So they put a break in, they take a break out. Are they going to change it again? Is there going to be a left turn? Are they going to put up a sign that says no left turn? We don't know. It's constantly changing. But I know they're working with NVCOG as they go through this process, because they're privy to the information first from the state than we are. So I know they've been having constant fluid discussions with them. I believe
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Perhaps we can just suggest that the applicant work with the DOT, the LTA, and NVCOG to try to address before next month's meeting what the anticipated in and out movements are along Route 34, because obviously it's like you said, it's a very fluid situation, and right, rather than speculate as to what could happen, let's give them an opportunity to iron it out before next month.
Can I jump in for a second?
Sure, you can. It's your application.
Thank you, and thanks. You guys are correct. That was after the fact, Raul. That's why that was Officer Todd's. Didn't know that. Actually, it was welcomed by me. I just found out today. So, but we were talking about that months ago, and that was one of the reasons why I asked for to hold off on a traffic study, because it's really going to be meaningless now with the moving target. With the DOT is going to make the final call. So, no matter what we do now at this point, I would rather, if you want a traffic study, I don't think it's necessary, but I'll do it. But I'd ask that we wait until DOT is complete with everything, so we don't have to continually revise it based on what they find, because they're going to make the final decision on the state road. Mr. McAvoy, the issue you brought up about the adjoining property, we tried to, but economically, it's just not feasible. They just wanted too much money for us to open that up there. And, you know, it works now the way it is, you know, with the right turn in and the right turn out. And, you know, it's not ideal, but it's worked in the past 3 years, and we feel that the traffic flow is, you know, it's minimal impact because of the road to begin with, but the access in and the access out is probably the safest. It's really not going to change much. There's not much that we can do. The state, once they decide on whether that's going to be a left turn into the property, kind of like it is now, if they decide to do that, then it looks like they're widening it a little bit. Maybe it's going to be a turn. So until we see their final plans, it's hard to present you guys with anything different than what we have there. I hope I didn't confuse anybody even more.
It appears to me also, if I might interject now, that having a residential, a major residential component to this development rather than commercial that has been proposed in the past, kind of it keeps the traffic flow pattern is not really as crucial as it was before, because anything you put there commercially, any business wise, they want extra turns, they want, you know, right turns, left turns, they want to go up Main, down Main, they want to go everywhere. But with an apartment building, typically you leave in the morning when you can leave and you come back at night, so there's minimal traffic flow as opposed to having a commercial development on site. And that's one of the reasons why I like the concept of what you brought before the commission at this time.
Thanks. And you kind of pushed me that way, and I'm glad you did. Well, because you're accurate with that type of traffic flow, and that was really why we ended up with this development project the way it is. I think it's going to be great. I think it's going to be minimal impact on traffic because it's you see the road and right. Until the DOT gives us final detailed plans, it's almost, you know, a waste of time to try to speculate. We're going to make it work, and it'll be safe. You know, I assure you that.
Any other comments from commission members?
Mr. Chairman, it's Gino. I have a question.
Hi, Gino.
Pull the print back up while we're discussing. Could I just see the elevations on the drawing, just to see the rear elevation? If that's possible?
Hold on, let me try to pull up the other plan then, because this one shows the front of the building. So give me a second.
Yeah, take your time. Thank you.
I'll take a this opportunity to explain the trash, if you don't mind. Because there's a pretty cool system that I think Pat was involved with designing with Jim on some other local buildings, where the trash chute really was designed inside, and it turned out to be a very successful type of plan, where you don't need to have that outdoor dumpster out there. You wheel it out, I believe, once a week. And it's a compacting type of little mechanism where there's a chute from each floor. And again, it was, Pat could give you more details on it, but it's, according to friends of mine that have built similar projects like this, they think it's it worked out really well. That's why we're copying it.
Yeah.
Thanks, Joe. Gino, is this what you were looking for?
Yeah, that's perfect. Yep. Okay. That's great.
The top one's the rear elevation of the building.
Yep, I can see it. Yeah, I was just curious on how that second floor overhang was going to look like going over the parking lot there. So,
right. You can see the stairwell in the middle coming down, and then one side's open, the other one you can see the back wall. You know.
Yep.
Pat, since your firm's from Fairfield, you're familiar with the development on the corner of Commerce and Black Rock Turnpike? They have similar parking where they have underneath for the first floor.
Yes,
right?
They do. Partial.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it similarly to partial? They have outdoor, a lot of outdoor parking, and then they have some parking underneath. It's similar to that? Okay.
Right. It's similar to that. It's not a full podium building. It's only a partial.
Right. Exactly. Okay.
Ted, I have a couple just quick comments.
Sure, go ahead, Steve.
I just want to mirror what you said. I think this is going to be an excellent gateway to the downtown. I think it fits with what our master plan was for the south side development. And somebody from the developer had mentioned plantings and planting input. Ryan, could you put the rendering up back up?
Sure thing.
Putting it through your stuff. Basically, what I wanted to say to you is if you could make the planting plan match the rendering, I would be quite happy. Right now, I don't think you have the trees that are along Main Street shown on the planting plan. But that would be wonderful if you could try to mimic what you put into the rendering. And that's all I have, is it's a very welcome development. Thanks, Joe, for bringing this to town. We're really looking forward to this.
Thanks, and I'll do my best to get some of those flowering pear trees in the front there. They do look pretty cool. I like that. I'd like to see what Home Depot has across the street, to be honest with you, when that's finished, because that could be a nice berm. That's going to be attractive over there.
Any other comments from any commission members?
Mr. Chair?
Yes, sir. Go ahead, Raul.
Yeah, just one more about the amenities. If you did do amenities on the first floor, would that automatically take away from the 70 units, or would you look to put 70 units somewhere else? And are those amenities private or public?
We would lose a couple of units. I wouldn't ask for any more. I would substitute, I would say probably maybe 3 to 4 units if we decide to go with the coffee shop. I hope you guys could give me a little bit of leeway to decide that as we move forward. What I've found is a couple of the buildings that I've been looking at, they try to get the ground floor, get the apartments off of the ground floor facing the road for various reasons. And if we could bring the fitness center or the community room, have it adjacent to maybe a public cafe or coffee shop, I think it would be an attractive amenity for the residents there. And since there's not a lot right now in Derby, I think it's important that we have some type of minimal retail. I think just a gathering area that can be utilized by the public there. I think we have plenty of parking, especially if we could acquire that state piece that is adjacent to us entering the property there. It's really no good to anybody else. And I believe the state cannot sell it to me at this point. They have to wait 3 years until the project is complete, some statute. But I believe that it should be no problem to lease it until then. And that would be a nice little parking section, kind of where that car is there, right across the street there, right across the driveway, where so people could walk right into the coffee shop, get coffee. We don't expect it to be a crazy drive-through. That, you know, we looked at other types of retail here, and it just really doesn't work. And if it doesn't work here for retail, then so be it. I just figured it would be a nice little amenity for the residents. But I think it would be, you know, a nice little public gathering. I would suggest we keep it to a minimal, and then for adjacent to that, again, maybe a community room that is private to the residents, and then maybe a fitness room, and then administrative office. Maybe try to get the ground floor facing on Main Street, not apartments, this way. The other towns, for different reasons, have been coming up with that type of a policy. It's not imperative, but it seems to be what the other towns are looking for. And we'll end up losing a couple of units.
Does that answer your question, Raul?
Yes, it does. Very well. Thank you.
Okay. Any other comments from any commission members? Any other comments? Since this is a public hearing, I'd like to open it up to the public. Would anybody from the public like to address the commission at this time? Anyone from the public?
Yes, I'd like to speak.
Go ahead, Tom. I was wondering when you were going to speak. Go ahead.
Tom Linetti, Sunset Drive in Derby. Well, welcome, Mr. Salem. I happen to know that everything that you do, whatever project you get your hands involved in, is a great success.
Thank you.
Derby wants you. So I highly approve this, and I hope everybody does. And if there's a problem with it, I want to know why. So good luck, and thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Tom. Is there anybody else from the public who would like to address the commission at this time? Anybody else from the public?
Eddie, if I may?
Yes, go ahead. Go ahead, Carm.
I would like to thank Mr. Salem and his team.
You know, it's been a couple of years we've been working on this back and forth. One time it was going to be a school, and then it was going to be something else. And he dug in his heels, and he took down the building, and he's ready to go. And we really appreciate that he's even interested in Derby. And we're looking forward to it. Thanks, Joe.
Well, thank you. I just want to let you know, I'm excited. I think this is going to be the start of a very, very attractive, big development for the south side of Main Street there. You know, I had some friends of mine, some bigger developers, one very large developer from out of state just recently, and really impressed with what we can do there. The vision there to incorporate the two rivers and the park in the back there, and the walking path, and you know, there's the river recreational amenities. The upside, the opportunity is really unique that you could have an area this large that can be carefully planned out for a new development. I'm looking forward to actually doing more, to be honest with you, and. I want to thank you, Carmen, and Ted, the whole team. It's been nice working with a group of cooperative officials that understand that the challenges in something like this. And there's you know probably better than anybody what we've gone through, how what we looked at, and the economics are certainly not guaranteed. So it's a risk, and we are we're very, very excited to get started here.
Thanks, Joe.
Ryan, is there any other comments from the public? Any other comments from the public? Commission members?
Mr. Chair?
Go ahead, Mark.
Mark Carfalo, 95 Academy Hill Road. Just a couple comments and observations. And the first would be as it relates to the parking. Again, it shows on the plan. Apparently sufficient parking for the plan, on-site parking, which I would encourage the commission to make sure that you insist on that, as the last plan did not have enough parking on site, the one that was done on Houstonic Lumber. So I think that in order for this to be sustainable and viable going forward, the projects that are approved need to be to make sure that the that there is sufficient parking so that the projects can sustain themselves going forward. Also, I would just encourage to make sure that the traffic safety pulling the egress from the property onto 34, that you ensure the safety of everyone, the travelers on 34, and of course the people in the building itself. And I also think that as you go forward, that there needs to be a master plan for the rest of that parcel of the south side of Main Street, so that if there's going to be permanent shared parking, that is part of the plan, so that the number of units and the density and so forth is understood by all the stakeholders as we go forward. It's, I think, a smart growth and smart planning on this will yield better results for the future. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members of the commission.
Thanks, Mark. Any other comments from any commission members or public? Any other comments? A question for Ryan. Ryan, anything that you're asking for, can that be handled administratively, or does that have to be handled in a public hearing format?
The application is complete, Mr. Chairman. I would suggest some of the items I've requested are punch list items in your regulations, namely drainage computations, photometric analysis. I would suggest, since this is not going to be acted on tonight, that the public hearing remain open in order for those items to be submitted for the record. Okay. And then if the commission feels they have enough information, they can act on it at the next meeting.
Okay. That's what I was driving at, because, you know, with record keeping and the way we run the meetings, I want to know if we should keep something open or close it just to receive it. And then we kind of, you know, we're really dotting the I's and crossing the T's at this point in time. And like you said, it's mostly drainage, photometric plans, et cetera. It's pretty much record keeping type stuff as far as the plans go. So,
yeah. And I also think there is enough question that about what the DOT may or may not allow, to the extent that might be available or perhaps firmed up by next month's meeting, that we can try to, I know that nothing's set in stone with that plan.
The first time I was introduced to this Route 34 widening project was in 1998. So I'm sure that there's going to be some changes. It's going to take some, you know, believe me, they didn't put something on paper and it's cast in stone. This is a fluid project. And if they're like Mr. Slim said, if it's going to happen, it's up to them because they're involved. And I think your point with having the group work with NBCOG, the state DOT, and the local LTA to keep the discussions and everything moving forward is the way to go here, without question. This way, everybody's on board with what the state's doing, so to speak. So if they have any questions, they can raise it at that time. Okay, so I move that we keep the public hearing open until next month to receive the items that Mr. McAvoy put in his letter, and that we can address that next month. Is there a second?
Second.
Made and second. And any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Aye. Okay. Great job, gentlemen. I think you did a fantastic job.
Thank you for your time.
I really appreciate it. It was very thorough. Under item number 10A, new business, Derby Apartment Investments, we'll table that until next month because the public hearing's still open. But I just want to say for the record that this is a welcome development. I know we've discussed about what to develop here many times and many different items in the past, but this is a very, very welcome development. And I appreciate your patience and you to keep with it.
Thank you. Yeah, I just want to leave it on one note. And I just want to, again, thank everybody. But you did mention about the property behind us.
NBC4.
Excuse me?
I think somebody wasn't on mute, but go ahead.
Oh, okay. So yeah, obviously, it's a concern to us. And we're happy that you're on top of the blight issue that's surrounding us at this point. And we know it's going to be taken care of. But it could become relevant if it's not. And we just like to make sure it's going to be, hopefully we can clean the area up so the residents don't have to, you know, look at that.
And we as a commission and as a city understand that if you're going to spend all this money into developing a parcel for apartments that where people are going to live, they don't want to look out. There's certain things they want to see out their window and certain things they don't want to see are prohibitive to them helping to move the project forward. So I just wanted to let you know that the city is addressing those items at this time.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Item number 10B, new business. O'Sullivan's Island, City of Derby, site plan approval application to put a walkway and observation platform on the Housatonic River. Discussion and possible action. Is there somebody from the engineering firm here to talk a little bit about the project on the call?
Yes. Hi, my name is Darren Lemire. I'm from HRP Associates. I'm a professional engineer, and we've prepared the engineering plans for the city and NBCOG. Just to kind of go over it quickly, it's a wooden platform on the Housatonic River. It's about dimension 16 feet by 80 feet. There's a short path to go over to the observation platform. It's all open railing. There's two different heights. There's kind of I think it's a 42 inch height, main height, open railing. Then there's some portions with shorter lower height so he can access and, you know, fishing, or maybe kids could better see the river. Okay, thanks, Ryan. So that kind of, you could see then along the path, we are showing some plantings. The path itself is, it's all flat, 6 feet wide, so it would be accessible from the parking lot. And the platform itself has four benches on it, wooden benches. And it's basically, it's on wooden piles, approximately 30 wooden piles that are about 40 feet long. They'll be installed by a pile driver. This site, I mean, is in the floodplain, within the 100-year floodplain and the floodway. And we did get comments from Ryan, I believe, or last week, and then we responded on Friday. And some of those were, one of those comments was related to the floodway. And one of those comments had to do with if there would be any flooding, because it isn't a floodway, we have to, as a professional engineer, show that there will be no additional rise in the floodwaters when the structure is put in the river. It's actually, you know, very tight criteria, 0.00 foot difference. And what we did as part of the permitting process, we did send an application into Connecticut DEEP. It's a structure dredging and fill application that was sent in on November, 25th. And in that document, that's where we provided our engineering certification that there would be no flooding effects. And also part of that application is a flood contingency plan that if, when they do go to build this, if there is, is there a possible flood event, 100-year flood event or 500-year flood event, that equipment, materials would have to be taken out, or if it's too large to move, they would have to fasten and kind of tie everything down. So, and then I guess there was a couple other comments that we sent, along with the comments, we did send in revised drawings. Let's see. I guess we, there was some comments on, temporary fencing that we did in the revised plans. We did show temporary fencing with a gate around the area because it is in a public area. We did show an additional tree planting detail. And then there was a question on Ryan's review had about the existing wood rail where the walkway meets the parking lot. So we clarified that. And then just kind of to give you a highlight on other permits, we are, besides, you know, the city's permits, we, along with the Connecticut DEEP, we also filed last week Army Corps permit for work within the waterway. So, and these all, these permits usually take a couple months to get a review, comments, so. That's kind of where we are at right now.
Okay. And typically, correct me if I'm wrong, Ryan, that typically, even though they've applied to Army Corps of Engineer and things like that, they typically looking for local approval or local submission first before they move along with reviewing the plans themselves. correct?
That is typical of a DOT style application. I believe the Army Corps can review things concurrently, but because this use is regulated by the town with regard to activity in the floodway, and also the recreational element on a CDD property, they also need approval from you. So they need approvals from the state, local, and federal agencies, and they've received approval from the Wetlands Agency. They'll need approval from you, DEP, Army Corps of Engineers, et cetera.
Okay, you mentioned they did receive approval from Inland Wetlands?
They did, last week.
Okay, all right. Great. Thanks, Darren. Do you have anything else to add to this before I ask any of the commission members if they do? Ryan?
I think that's all for me.
Okay, Darren. Okay. Ryan?
Do you have any further comments? The only comment that I had with regard to the elevation or rise of the elevation of the floodplain, it's also a duplicated review by the state in terms of the impact that the dock itself will have on the elevation of the flood of the Housatonic River. So I think we can rely on the statement from the engineer that he's performed the analysis and he's submitted to the DEP. I don't really have any concerns about it, especially considering that there's a redundant review at the state level.
Thank you, Ryan. Any comments or questions from the commission members? Any comments at all?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I have a question. Is this located where the boat ramp used to be? Is that where this is located, or whereabouts is this located?
Darren or Ryan? Carmen?
Yeah. No,
your staff, so you can talk.
Gino, you would have to go through the park. You would go from the parking lot, the end of the parking lot where the wooden rails are, walk straight ahead to the right, and that's where it would be, over there, down.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah.
So it's farther from the boat ramp.
Okay, so it's right below that. Okay, I know where you're talking about.
You could see the boat ramp where my cursor is, the existing boat ramp.
Oh, okay, yep.
And then the dock will be about 100 feet, 200 feet downriver.
Oh, yeah, I can see it now. I blew it up. Okay, yep, perfect. I know where you're at.
Any other comments from any commission members?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, David.
Do we have any sanitary facilities associated with this dock? I don't see any on the plan.
I don't know if we need it per our regulations, like take, for instance, Whittick Park or anything like that. I don't think that's a mandatory item. Say that again?
If you have seating, then you are required to have sanitary facilities.
I don't see any seatings on the plan. I mean, I just see a dock. Am I missing something, Ryan?
Oh, there's four bench seats on there.
Yeah, we do show four bench seats, right?
Yeah.
And maybe the.
Okay, I don't think any facilities besides if it gets tremendous use that an outhouse gets put there, a temporary one. I mean, Ryan, based on our regulations, do we have to have something there? Dave, I'll ask you.
It's a recreational facility with seating. You would need sanitary facilities, which is not just restrooms, also trash receptacles.
I'll ask the applicant if there was any discussion about having any facilities at all? Taking a look at this, I would deem it like passive recreation, you know, because there's no facilities on a walking trail, okay? And that's a recreational facility. You can sit anywhere on the walking trail. There's places, there's no facilities there of any way, shape, or form, Dave. I would ask that question.
Well, this is the type of facility that people will be there for hours at a time.
If they didn't use- it's the largest used walkway in the state. People congregate there for hours at a time. That I know.
Ted, to Dave's point, I think, you know, he's right, because what we have at Whittock Park is a lack of, at the very least, I mean, lack of courtesy from the people visiting the park, some of the people visiting the park. But yeah. I mean, I think it's the same thing on the walkway. There's a lack of trash receptacles. And I'm not trying to put an extra burden on our public works department. They do a wonderful job. But Dave's being realistic. It's otherwise it's going to be straight. I'm not so worried about the bathroom facility idea either, but I think at the very least there should be plans for some type of refuge there that will be regularly picked up. Unfortunately, you know, added to the burden of public works. I mean, I think it's a great asset to the city to have this, but we better make it look nice.
I agree. Darren, has there been any thought process to putting in trash receptacles there, or just leave it as a floating dock, so to speak?
Yeah, no, we didn't have that planned. We were kind of, you know, assumed that we were using the, you know, people using the dock would, you know, use the whatever trash receptacles are already available. But I mean, we have no, probably that wouldn't be, you know, a big deal adding trash receptacles for this. That would, you know, help.
Dave, comments?
I was going to look to Carmen or Andrew to see, you know, what their feeling was from the city's point of view, from the administrative point of view, I guess.
I have no objection to them having to put trash receptacles in. Okay. I think it's, you know, somebody goes up there fishing, they have a sandwich or something, they throw the papers in the basket.
Yeah, hopefully. But at least it's there. The intent is good, right, Carmen?
Yeah, I agree, Steve. I think to your point about public works, that we've heard some pushback from public works about public trash receptacles in different places, because what happens is then people come, they empty out their trunk, and a trash receptacle supposed to be for a sandwich bag then becomes for some fisherman's trunk garbage. And then if we don't get there to pick it up daily or at the right time, then it's overflowing and it creates an even bigger problem. So we'll have to touch base with public works on that. But I do agree with Dave and with you that's something we should certainly look into. I don't think the bathrooms is something that we need to look into, particularly with, you know, I don't know, people who go and do outdoorsy things, they deal with that issue all the time and they find a way. There's okay. Woods over for you guys. And to be fair,
of course,
I got to thank Ricardo from the COG. They did this on kind of a limited budget. And I think we did a great job. There was a couple rounds of designs. We considered some different elements as it relates to the handicap accessibility for folks to be able to use it. I think it's a great element for this area, knowing that you've got the Factory Street development and now Mr. Slem's development. Give those people some element to be proud of, to walk down to the river there and really get an opportunity to enjoy some of the sights down there. So this is a great thing. It's a goodwill thing. We're using grant funds to kind of get this done. And, you know, I'm sure we can consider whatever minor tweaks in order to accommodate, you know, the residents. But really, for the most part, it's pretty simple and speaks for itself. And I think Darren's done a pretty good job showing what it is. It's a fishing and it's more of a viewing and observation pier than we think there's going to be a ton of fishing there. I think it's more go down there and have the opportunity to be one with nature.
Well put, Andrew. Any other comments from commission members before we address the trash receptacle thing? Any other comments at all? All right, Dave, from what you heard, and Ryan, is this something we could address administratively and ask them to put in the design to move this thing forward?
I don't have a problem with that.
Okay, Dave?
No, I don't have a problem with that.
Okay, Darren?
That's fine with me.
Okay. All right. Just want to make sure that all parties have a say right now. So this way, then I move that we approve the design of the O'Sullivan Island City of Derby site plan application as it's been given to us, with the addition of the further discussion of a trash receptacles. And I leave it up to our engineer to deem that it's just not a red painted garbage can thrown on a beautiful dock that we just built and it's done tastefully, so to speak.
Mr. Chairman, I did provide a draft motion.
Okay.
If you'd like me to read it into the record.
You can read it into the record because I don't have one. And I know I always ask you for one. I don't have it.
Okay. I think it's.
Okay. If you want to dot the I's and cross the T's, you read it for once.
All right. Just give me one moment to bring it up here. Hold on. Okay. It's the draft motion dated December 15, 2020. Regarding City of Derby, O'Sullivan's Island Fishing and Viewing Platform, application for site plan approval. Pursuant to Article 15 of the regulations and Chapter 92, Flood Prevention Ordinance of the City of Derby, the Plan Zoning Commission finds the following. One, that the application and supporting documentation as presented is in accordance with Sections 195-30 through 195-33. Two, the plans as proposed will result in improvements within the floodplain and floodway boundaries as depicted on Firm Map 09009C0403H, dated 12/17/2010. Three, the applicant has demonstrated there will be no changes in the floodplain elevation based on the proposed improvements. Four, the area of the application is located adjacent to a portion of the Housatonic River that is tidally influenced. Therefore, following review of the plans and supporting documentation submitted in support of this application, the Derby Planning and Zoning Commission hereby approves the application for site plan approval for the City of Derby on property shown on Derby Assessor's Map 8-5, Lot 3, with the following stipulated conditions. One, compliance with the conditions of approval from the Derby Inland Wetlands Agency dated December 8, 2020. Two, the ZEO, City Engineer, or any other duly authorized representative of the City of Derby shall have the authority to direct the applicant, developer, and/or contractor to install additional S&E control measures as conditions may warrant, including temporary erosion control blankets on steep slopes. Three, any modification to the above referenced drawing shall be submitted to the Plan and Zoning Commission for review and action if necessary. Four, the applicant shall furnish the city with an improvement location survey of the property depicting the completed site, including all site features along with the proposed changes. In addition, the improvement location survey, the applicant shall submit an elevation certificate confirming the elevations associated with the new construction. The elevation certificate shall match the vertical datum of the current FEMA flood mapping when construction is completed. And then we'll add five, that trash receptacles be provided in association with the proposed improvements. And then I go on to list the documents submitted in support of the application. So rather than go through all those, is that a draft suitable for the commission?
For me, it is. I'll make that motion. I'm glad you added the trash receptacles. Is there a second?
I'd like to second that. Though.
Second by Ray Sadlick. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, we'll move on to item number 10C, Home Depot, 117 Main Street. I don't know why I have this under new business to be acted upon because we're hearing the application next month. So we'll just skip over that. 11, old business. There's no old business. Number 12, payment of bills if deemed correct. Ryan, you didn't send me any bills.
We have technical difficulties in our accounting department. So no bills.
Okay. No bills. Okay. Motion to adjourn.
Mr. Chair.
Yeah, Rich. Sure.
No. Mark.
Mark.
Yes, I just one issue I forgot. The reason why I spoke about Home Depot was because it was on this C here, 10C. So sorry about that.
That's but the okay. Other thing, you already spoke.
I would just like ask for your guidance and help with respect to, I would like to ask for your guidance and input to work with staff to come up with a consistent process for how the information for these meetings is received and transmitted so that it could be consistent and transparent throughout the process.
Sure. Just tell me what you want and we'll do it. Okay. We'll make it easy. Done.
Okay, fine. I'll be happy to draft something for your consideration.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Rich.
Merry Christmas. Happy holidays, everybody.
Thank you.
Ed, I just want to congratulate you on your chairmanship again, the board members here. Listening to this meeting tonight, it was excellent. We should broadcast this out to the area, to the state, to see how open that Derby is for developing and to work with our restaurants and just better Derby. So I just think you guys are doing a phenomenal job. Continue what you're doing, and thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I appreciate it. Okay, without any further discussion, motion to adjourn. Is there a second?
Second.
Made and seconded by Steve Jalowick. Any further discussion? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Happy holidays, everybody.
Happy holidays.
Enjoy.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Be safe.
8:47 p.m.